Hey, believer, welcome to From Head to Heart. Do you know in your head God loves you, but struggle to feel it in your heart? Have you ever been let down by people so you believe God will let you down too? Do you ever feel like you have to choose between God or your feelings? I'm Jessica, someone who loves Jesus but didn't grow up in the church. For a long time, I believed that if I didn't take care of myself, then no one would. I believed so many lies about my worth and identity in Christ. I wondered if I would ever be able to discern God's voice over my voice. I realized that even in my mistakes, with all the choices I made, I am still loved by a God whose love isn't transactional. Now is your time to finally know and understand God's love for you, that you can trust God and hear from God. If you are ready to grow your relationship with God and need a starting place to process your feelings, pull up a seat and join us at the table. Today is the first day you begin to challenge the way you think to change the way you live. Hey friend, I am so excited that you're here with me today to talk about dealing with emotions biblically. And man, I am so passionate about this topic because I've just, one, been hurt and affected by being told that I'm not spiritually mature and I need to get over it, and how I've dealt with my feelings in the past. Yeah, some of it may not have been mature or spiritually wise, but I think we've all fallen under that category. No matter how spiritually mature we are, there are times where we still handle our emotions immaturely. So I've been on this side where I have been just told how things are all my fault and I should know better. And then there's this other side that kind of leaves us in our feelings. You know, I've talked about this before on the podcast where it's more so, yeah, feel all the feelings. And it kind of, I feel like, leaves us in this darkness. But we know that the light has overcome the darkness. And so if I were to tell you to calm down when your anger is heightened, chances are you're not going to calm down. You're going to be more frustrated with me that I'm telling you to calm down over something that you are experiencing deep anger with, right? So dealing with our emotions biblically is not about bypassing what someone is going through, but rather really helping them to take the truth and apply it to their current situation. But if I were instead to help you to breathe, to walk with you, chances are your anger would lessen. So there's a difference here. One is me just telling you what to do. Calm down. Don't be angry. Versus me showing you how to do it. So let's walk. I'm going to remind you to breathe. And there's, of course, like there's patience. Like God's love and his word is patient and it's kind and it's humble. And so we don't always need to just be quoting scripture at people. We can be those in action to other people. And I think that as believers, we are really known for spiritually bypassing people in the name of Jesus and calling it holy. And anytime we see anybody experiencing anything less than joy, is that we want them to just feel better. They feel like they should know better. And so this leaves a person feeling really unheard and stuck in their emotions, which really in turn can get stuck in their bodies. And of course, I speak from experience of, again, feeling very unheard when something that I experienced or something that somebody said and I would try to go to them is dismissed as being immature or not knowing how to deal with emotion, or you need to suck it up and you need to read your Bible more. And so I was met with these very direct answers, all of which can be true. Like I need to read my Bible. But how many of us know that just doing more actions doesn't actually change our hearts? And so we often spiritually bypass people and it leaves them stuck. So in layman's terms, spiritual bypassing is really using our faith to disregard our real human experiences. We use scriptures and false humility to really act as though everything is okay or that we should be okay. Others often do this by maybe telling us to move on, or God has greater things for us and that God is good. And again, all of this is true. But if it's your only answer, it can easily bypass the reality of what is happening within us and the person around you. So it often looks like overemphasizing the positive and avoiding the negative. So when we're thinking about dealing with our emotions biblically, it allows the truth to be the foundation in healing while leading them to love, right? And we want them to really bring back them to reality. We want to bring them back to reality, I should say. And we do that by truth and love, but not just telling them what to do, but it's also leading them and guiding them. So when our emotions are big or heightened, all of our sense of reality disappears. And that's when our survival kicks in. Now, I talk about this a lot in my book, Face Off With Your Feelings, but I also address this inside of my course, Spiritual Growth Framework, which I highly recommend, especially at the time of this recording, is at the beginning of a new year. And I couldn't think of a better way than to start your year with healing. And so many times people are like, how is this different? Well, the thing is that this is about your healing journey. This isn't about how much you can read and quote. This is actually about healing from the pain and the anger and the bitterness and trusting God again and growing your relationship with Him. This is more than your actions and what you can do. It's actually about the relationship that you have with Christ. And one of the big things that really boils down to is trusting God. Do I trust God? And so in my course, Spiritual Growth Framework, I take you through every single step of learning to trust God again. And each module inside the course builds off the next. And I talk about emotions and I talk about feelings inside of the course because it matters, especially in our walk with God. So our emotions take over again. When our emotions are so high, our emotions take over and our reasoning really begins to shut down. So the term amygdala hijacking was first used by psychologist Daniel Coleman in his 1955 book, Emotional Intelligence. And it really refers to an immediate and an intentional emotional reaction that's out of proportion to the situation. So in other words, it's when someone seriously overreacts to something or someone. But when we think of amygdala hijacking, it's really our amygdala created by God, which is designed to respond swiftly to a threat. Helping someone deal with emotions biblically keeps them rooted in truth and love, but also not running away from or hiding what's happening inside of them. Whatever they are going through inside may or may not make sense to us, and that doesn't matter. What matters is that we need to love them into truth and with truth by our actions, even when it doesn't make sense to us. Because here's the thing I've noticed is that when it doesn't make sense to us, we become very self-righteous, meaning it's my way or no way, how stupid of them. That's so ignorant. I can't believe it. Why don't they just understand? And really, it's just us elevating ourselves as if we are the know-all be-all. And so, yes, it may not make sense to us, but there are many things that we go through that don't make sense to other people. But however, we have not gone through what they have gone through, right? So their triggers and reactions will be different. And then this is another reason why each person we come in contact with needs to be loved into truth, or we are no different than the world. We do not water down the word, but we meet them where they are and take them with us instead of leaving them down. So what does the Bible really say then about emotions and feelings? I believe there must be this healthy balance of recognizing where we are emotionally without submitting to our emotions. We often live in this extreme of either or. I am either sad or I am joyful. And this really excuses the reality that two can coexist. There are times where there are sad things happening in your life and there are things that are good happening in your life. You might be so excited to be having a baby or starting a new job or losing weight, those are things that you can still be joyful for. But then maybe you're still sad, or maybe you are sad because your friend is sick, or your coworker got laid off, or whatever it is. There is no need to choose. And we get into a lot of emotional turmoil when we try to continue to choose one or the other instead of allowing them both to exist, because it's really just forcing us to hide one side of ourselves, which is really the human side, the way God designed us, wired us, and created us to think. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. And so, yes, we co-labor with Christ, we're seated in heavenly places, but we still live here on this earth, and we cannot deny those human experiences because we're not robots. And it does us no justice to act like that either, to act like we're robots. A healthy way then to really begin to deal with emotions biblically is by just changing our language a little bit. Instead of saying, "I am sad," we want to say, "I am experiencing feelings of sadness." One recognizes we are what we're experiencing versus the other one labels it as an identity. "I am sad." When we keep saying that, it's solidifying all the things that we feel and putting a label on it. And then you start to label that as yourself. Like, "I'm just a sad person. I'm just an angry person." You know, I've heard people describe themselves as this, and those things might be what you're experiencing, but they're not who you are. And so we have to really disconnect from the two. That's why we want to start saying, "I am experiencing feelings of sadness right now," instead of saying, "I am sad." One is more objective, while the other is taking more ownership. The Bible never says we won't have emotions or feelings, but the Bible does tell us how to control and manage and care for them. Learning about spirit, soul, and body really helps us to understand how God created our bodies to function and to operate as a unit. Again, this is a perfect time to pick up my book, Face Off With Your Feelings. Or if you want more in-depth teaching and more one-on-one with me, join me inside of my course, Spiritual Growth Framework. I can't emphasize enough the way our life changes by the Spirit, because the Spirit is what transforms us. It's what transforms our heart. And when we begin to pursue the Father's heart, we find that healing. We find the patience. We live in the patience because it's already available to us. You know, when we pray for patience and we pray for to be kind, like all of those things are already ours. We just have to learn how to operate in them. So again, inside my course, Spiritual Growth Framework, you can also pick up my book, Face Off With Your Feelings. But healing affects us in every single way. It affects us physically. It affects us emotionally. It affects us spiritually. So one example is in Ephesians 4, 26 through 27, where it says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil." The scripture tells us a few things. Anger is an emotion, and Paul doesn't say, "Don't have anger." Paul is telling us unmanaged anger can lead us to sin. Paul gives a timeline, but also a deadline to say, "Don't let your anger go unresolved." And it also says that harboring anger can give place to the devil. And so for me, when I think about then moving into one last step in this episode, is five ways to manage your emotions. It's one of my favorite ways to help women kind of just start somewhere. And so we want to just take a moment, step one, to acknowledge that something doesn't feel right. We want to say, "Hey, you know what? Something's going on here." And so step two then is identify what doesn't feel right. We want to name it and call it out so that you can begin to move through it. You begin to heal more clearly when you call it out and you name it out versus just letting it stew, letting it fester, because it's only going to grow. Number three, you can accept what you are experiencing without it becoming a part of your identity. This goes back to the language, the things that we choose to say and hold on to. so many times in the women inside of my course and the women that I work with, I can see that what they've gone through is becoming who they are. And there's something separate because we allow the pain to consume us, and we allow the pain to become so acquainted with us that we actually allow it to become a part of our identity. And what we actually get to do is feel our pain and experience our pain, but not let it become who we are. So that's the third step, is that you can name it, right? You can call it out and you can say, you know what? I'm angry right now. I'm feeling angry, but I'm not an angry person. Like right now, I'm experiencing these feelings of anger because this happened, but it's not who I am. Number four, pay attention to what doesn't feel right and what is communicating with you. So why does it not feel right? And I want you to think of the root cause, like really deep down, why do you feel angry? Why are you having these feelings of sadness? Why are you having this grief, or whatever it is? We want to pay attention to it. And we want to say, what is the actual root cause here? What triggered this? And number five is have a conversation with God, trusted friends and family, or professional assistance. These five steps are something that you can easily walk through. Again, number one, just acknowledging something isn't right. Number two, identify what doesn't feel right, name it. Number three, you can accept where you are or what you are experiencing, I should say, without it becoming a part of your identity. And then number four, pay attention to what doesn't feel right, what is communicating with you. And number five, this is where we want to have a conversation. This is where we want to go to the Word, because now that we're aware of what's happening, we want to start to repair it. And so it's through our identity in Christ that we have the strength and the power to process our emotions biblically and put them into action. So again, learn more about this in my course, Spiritual Growth Framework, where I walk women through how to trust God and grow their relationship with Him. Because, P.S., we must address our whole body to give Him our whole self. As always, don't forget to challenge the way you think to change the way you live.
Do you struggle with feelings of deep loneliness, fear of rejection, or FOMO? Do you battle depression and anxiety on a daily basis? Are you unsure of how to handle it all? Do you want to learn how to make better and wiser decisions, deal with past trauma, heal from heartbreak, walk in forgiveness, all from a biblical perspective? I know what it feels like to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders while feeling like you are slowly drowning in it all. I wish I could get rid of the pain that I felt, yet I couldn't understand how God loved me on a personal level. Imagine if you had a framework where someone was there to help guide you on how to handle it all while growing your relationship with God and finally learning how to trust Him. This isn't about just praying away your feelings, your loneliness. This is about knowing you don't have to accept them, but you get to walk with the Lord through them. That's why I created the Spiritual Growth Framework course, where I teach you how to heal your heart and your life on the most practical level from a biblical perspective. Friend, it's not about how much you know, but how much you believe about what you know. You don't have to pray away your pain or pretend like it doesn't exist anymore. You don't have to memorize scripture hoping it will all go away. Is memorizing scripture important? Yes, but it's not the only thing. God's with you now and forever. He cares about your pain and your feelings. In my Spiritual Growth Framework course, you'll be able to walk away with practical application steps to heal every day, not just on long weekends or in the perfect quiet time. I'm here to show you how healing is possible, even in the smallest pockets of time. What if you said goodbye to emotional wounds, unforgiveness, and pain, and say hello to a newfound relationship with God? A place where you feel safe, heard, seen, and loved. A place where you feel like you didn't have to hide. Head on over to jessicahoddle.com/heal to join me today inside of my Spiritual Growth Framework course, where your feelings have a seat at the table but will no longer be the centerpiece. It's time to heal your heart and your life. Head to jessicahoddle.com/heal to get started, and I'll see you there, friend.